You're listening to the Bethel University Chapel Podcast, recorded from the Everest Rohr Chapel Fine Arts Center in Mishawaka, Indiana. Thanks for listening.
Good morning, Bethel University, sorry. You know, this morning, you want to make sure you take good advice when they give it to you. This morning, before I started, one of the staff said, you know, you better spit out that gum. And I said, oh, thank you very much. Because apparently last year during graduation, so the Sunday after graduation, I went to church and the church lady said, hey, Terry, great smacking that gum all day yesterday at graduation. So I definitely made sure I spat out my gum. So I want to tell you, miracles upon miracles, the fact that we're all here, it's a miracle of God. But I want to say for me specifically, if 30 years ago when I started college and someone said, hey, dude, one day you'll be able to say this word without much problem. Can we say it together? Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You know, it's hard to say sometimes when you think about God and the joy that he gives you. And I personally do not have the vocabulary to do it. And I thought, you know, this is probably the best way to say it. Now, if someone said I was going to be up there talking to a group of hundreds of people and be able to say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, many, many times, I'll say, you're crazy. I used to stutter severely until 1998. Or if someone says, hey, man, you're going to be a psych professor. I was like, you must be nuts. Or finally, if they say you're going to be able to say those words, be a psych professor, and speak in front of a Christian college as a Christian faculty, I said, you know what? You need to go check yourself into some place. So the fact that I am here, it's a miracle of God, and I am blessed to be here to be asked, and I'm humbled to be asked. Now, if the 24 of you who had the pleasure or displeasure of being with me the fall semester, you know one of the first questions I ask for any students who take my traditional class is this question. How did a formerly pimply, braces, bad hair, stuttering, Berkeley educated, pot smoking, beer guzzling, football loving, pork rind chomping, liberal Asian atheist came to be a verbose, Bible thumping, social conservative professor of clinical psychology at a Christian college? The fact I just did what I did, that's a miracle of God. I would not be able to say that a few years ago. So the issue is, how did I get to this point in my life? Well, the short answer is, well, it's a miracle of God. So I'm going to share with you a little bit. And before I actually do that, I forgot to do what I was telling myself to do. I think I started probably at 10:23. So upon the good advice of Professor David Schmidt, I'm going to make sure, try my darndest, to make sure to stay within the 15-minute time frame. He said, don't even think about going beyond 20 minutes. So, okay. Now, prior to an important day of my life, I would say this verse, especially the red part, really described me. From Psalm 92, verses 5 to 8, how great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man, unfortunately, cannot know. The fool, unfortunately, does not understand this. Though the wicked sprout like grass and all the evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on a high forever. Now, maybe more of a simpler way to describe this is Homer's dad. Homer, you are as dumb as a mule and twice as ugly. If a strange person comes offer you a ride, please take it. Okay, for my life, as a very typical Asian person growing up in a very typical Asian family, education was thought to be the key to wisdom in life and relationships. Now, as I continue my education, I thought, you know what? Getting a PhD will really help me know about the world. The problem is, looking back, I became more foolish about the internal things of nature as I got more educated. When I was at Berkeley, sitting around my Berkeley cafe, you know, drinking my cappuccino with my finger, you know, my last finger kind of tipped like that, really cool way, I hear about discussions about the universe, about creation, about multi-million dollar grants, about people talking, you know, at the national laboratory. You see, that's a little stutter right there. And I thought, wow, I'm with these people. Man, I have it. I'm going to get a PhD, and I'm going to know everything in the world. Unfortunately, as I got to know more, I knew less about the things of God. Now, as we all know, God has a nice, you know, interesting sense of humor. He, in his mysterious ways, throws curveballs, put rough patches in our life, put us through very circuitous routes so that we can get to where he ultimately wants us to go to. And I want to pause for a second. Knowing, having been interpreting for a Pentecostal preacher one time, please give it up for our ASL interpreter. I did not give him a script. And if you've been in my class, you know this is how I talk. I'm kind of free-flowing kind of guy, so I'm sorry for whoever has to interpret for me. Now, as always, like I was saying, curveballs abound. But if you are able to take the lemons of life, make lemonade, or if able to take really, really overly ripe bananas and make them into banana bread, you'll come out of it, at least with God's guidance, do well. So I've had my shares of ups and downs, and this is for the English student out there. This is a line, the famous line from Hamlet, when he was thinking about whether or not he should do away with himself. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles and by posum end them. That's the only line from that play I can remember, because it was an English assignment. We had to remember certain lines from Shakespeare. So why is it the slings and arrows in San Francisco Giants baseball? Some of you who've had my class may know that I have my shares of personal troubles, and this is another reason why I want to have a chance to share with you. Since 1989 until probably 2002, on and off for about, 12 or 13 years, I was severely depressed. There are several times that I decided, like what Hamlet was thinking, staring at the skull, maybe to end it all. And looking back now, and I believe there are several opportunities, there are several times in which God decided, you know what? Let's not do that. Let's have people around you somehow reach out to you at the right time. The worst time, the closest time I came to that was after watching a San Francisco Giants game. They weren't that bad, but on the way back from the subway, if you've ever been on a subway, there's a yellow strip or a red strip or some scary color strip that tells you, do not step on it. I remember that day after 4 or 5 years of severely depressed and trying to fight against it, I was waiting for my subway, and literally, it was the scariest moment of my life. I had a voice said, jump. And I was like, what? At this time, I was a PhD student in clinical psychology. I counsel people against this. I was like, no. So I started walking back. I literally forced myself to walk back. But by the time I got to my apartment, it was so low, and I wrote a note and stuck it under my roommate's mattress. One of these really scary notes that you only hear about in movies. But when you read this, blah, 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 right? Now, I was planning to do several bad things to myself, but I got a call from an undergraduate student. I don't know her, I forgot her name now, but I remember her email, beg@berkeley.edu, brown eye girl. That's her email. She said, hey, Terry, my mom wants you to come over to our graduation party, next week. It would be great if you can come. Now, somehow that lifted me up for whatever reason that someone cared. And from that, I kind of lift out of it. I mean, the thing is, the point of this is that you're going to have hard times. And it's going to be really rough times, past, present, or future. But if you are a believer, and I will be speaking to non-believers, if you are a believer, you have to have the faith to know that no matter how bad the circumstances are, in some really, really odd, only God can understand ways that he is trying to equip you for things to come. Now, in my opinion, is that my experience with severe mental illness made it easier for me to share these things with students, for counsel them in a kind of a teacher-student way, and also to let people know, I am here after had severe suicidal thoughts for about 12 years of my life. You can make it if that is you right now. However, I think God threw lots of salt, continued to throw hard balls, pitch me inside, up and high and all that, all these years. But throughout all that, I believe I've been blessed. A lot of you are probably a little bit anxious about what's been going on in the world, whether it be politics, the bad rhetoric, the way our society is, and of course, the latest thing being the coronavirus. I have to say, I met my wife only because she could afford an international flight during the SARS epidemic. That's the only reason she came to the United States. Not to say anything about what's going on right now, I'm just saying that's just a piece of fact. Like, I have black hair, that's fact. Now, what happened on February 29th? Just 9 days ago, that's a leap year. And today, if you count by leap years, I'm 4 years old in my Christian faith. Leap years happen every 4 years. Before that time, remember I was saying, I thought I can be very, have a command of the world because I am educated, right? Well, God thought, you know what? I'm going to put you at a church where everyone is passionately for Christ, but they are so much more educated than you are. When I met my wife, eventually we decided, my mom said, you know what? You're living in Nashville, Tennessee. Go to a church. There are nice people there. I said, sure, Mom. Okay, let's go. So I found a church. Just get this phrase. This doesn't happen too often. A Chinese-speaking Southern Baptist church in Nashville, Tennessee. So I thought, okay, I'm going to show these backwards people who says God is mysterious as a response to everything we can't explain. I'm going to show them how smart I am and in reverse, how silly they are. So what church did I go into? I went to a church that served the academic community of Vanderbilt University. We had PhD in virology, computer scientists, medical doctors, you know, biologists and everything. And I have to say, if you are someone out there who's still thinking, you know, this whole Christian thing is kind of silly, irrational, and just dumb, I want you to be open-minded to the possibility that, hey, you know what, you may be wrong. For me, first day I was there is January 11th, 2004. I got baptized on April 11th, 2004. On Easter Sunday. I checked the dates, so I was right. Now, what happened during three months? I went to every single evangelistic event, I went to every single Bible study, and I just argued and argued and argued and argued. They were gracious. They were so gracious. I was moved by one man who studies virology, like he would be one of the people who's studying what's going on right now. And I say, hey, you study the AIDS virus. How can you ever believe something that's up there like a big fairy up on the sky? He said, you know what? I thank God that he gave me the skill so I can see a sliver of his creation. I was like, whoa, holy cow. Now the bench. Around that time, if you're old enough, and by 2004, most of you should be alive. Your parents may know that around that time, the movie, The Passion of Christ, came around. And all churches were taking the not converted or new believers as a way to, you know, help them along the journey to faith. Of course, I was one of them. I went to the movie. I came out. I'm speeding up the story now. I came out, and I was sitting on this bench, literally a bench that looks exactly like this. One side is my friend Stephen. The other side is my friend Jonathan. I'm sitting there breathing the air, looking at the sky, looking at the trees, hearing the birds, and all of a sudden, I was like, oh, poop, something bad. I was like, oh, poop, what happened? I'm here sitting on this bench, and you know what? As simple as it was, I have absolutely no doubt it was created by someone with a purpose in mind. Absolutely no doubt. So the poop moment came when I said, how could I believe this was created in the air I was breathing, the animals I was seeing, the birds, the sun, everything so infinitely more complicated was evolved through zillions of cycles. Like for me, oh poop, that did not make sense at all. So that was my, oh my God, what happened? So rest of the day, I was like, I'm in trouble. And praise the Lord for Mrs. Grace Ho, another Grace. She's the pastor's wife of my Chinese church, the Asian, the Chinese-speaking Southern Baptist church. And she worked on me. Later that night, I did the believer's prayer. I want to say that it is important to believe and to know that grace is free. But you need to work at sanctification. It's like you are a drowning man, drowning person. You are trying to stay afloat. Someone nice enough throw you a life jacket. And you say, you know what? This pinches my skin. It doesn't feel too good. This is too big, too small. Or you have a Peloton that everyone has, of course. You have a perfect place in your huge house looking over the lake. You say, you know, you still have to step on it. Or a Bowflex, kind of my generation. Who has a Bowflex machine sitting on the basement? You have to use it. You have a free great grace, free gift. You have to use it. And finally, just in case you are anxious about your life, be assured that like it or not, good or bad, he has everything in his hand. And I'm kind of breaking David Schmidt's rule now, but I'm going to try to read this. I heard this from my pastor yesterday. I said, hey, I need that book. A.W. Tozer from The Knowledge of the Holy says, were there even one datum of knowledge, however small, unknown to God, his rule would break down at that point. His sovereignty requires that he be absolutely free, which means simply he must be free to do whatever he wills to do anywhere at any time to carry out his eternal purpose in every single way. So yes, the world is anxious. You are anxious. And I know for a lot of you, things are not easy right now. But trust in him, and ultimately, you will come out well. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Bethel University Chapel podcast. Subscribe to the podcast and get more information at chapel.betheluniversity.edu or check us out on the iTunes Store by searching for Bethel University Chapel.